The portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention is taken from Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 35. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Sometimes it's interesting the reaction that you get when you tell someone who your parents are. Sometimes their reaction in their minds, at least, might be, "Oh, so you're so-and-so's kid. Oh, that explains a lot." Or maybe when you tell them who your parents are, their reaction, maybe not so subtle reaction, is, "Oh, those poor people. They seem so nice. I wonder what went wrong." As for me, I simply like to tell people I'm a direct descendant of Joseph Smith just to see what reaction I can get. Now, any modern theories regarding the complexities of the relationships between fathers and sons aside, in biblical times, a man's identity was tied directly to who his father was. Take the Apostle Peter, for example. He's introduced in Scripture also as Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. The man in the text today, this blind beggar, in Mark's gospel, we're told that his name was Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. So why is it that Jesus was referred to as the son of David? At least from a worldly standpoint, shouldn't he have been called the son of Joseph? Well, it's obvious from Scripture that that title, son of David, had come to be regarded as having much more meaning than maybe first meets our ears. Son of David had come to be regarded as a way to refer to the Messiah, the promised Savior, because he was to be a descendant, a son of the great King David. So when someone in the Bible refers to Jesus as the son of David, it's actually a confession of faith, a recognition of who Jesus truly is, that he is the Messiah. And as the son of David, it's very clear that Jesus saves. Now, in that regard, Jesus is very much like his father, David. We know very well that account of David when he was a young shepherd boy, inexperienced in battle. What did he do? Well, he went out up against Goliath, the 8.5-foot giant warrior champion of the Philistines. And we know the result of that encounter. It was relatively swift, definitely decisive. Goliath was not only defeated, the entire Philistine army had to take off in defeat. So along comes the son of David, Jesus of Nazareth, not an imposing character by any means, a man who was more prone to preach about forgiveness and love. Who is it that he's supposed to come and defeat? Well, consider who our Goliath is. We know him better as Satan, as the devil, the great deceiver, take your pick. With his allies of the world and even our own sinful flesh, he keeps us doing his bidding, selfishly doing whatever it is that makes us feel good at the moment, running after countless dreams of happiness that vanish like wisps of smoke, straining to attain some sort of fulfillment in this life before it's over. Satan has convinced us that we are masters of our own destiny, and that all we need to do is to follow the path in life that we feel is right. But that path leads only to darkness, eternal darkness. Satan knows that, but he doesn't want us to know it. Jesus knows that, and he wants us to be on a different path. He wants us to be on a path that leads to light and eternal life. And so as the ultimate shepherd, he took on Satan and defeated him. Now, Satan may have thought that he had won when Jesus was killed on the cross and his body, his lifeless body, laid in the tomb, much like I'm sure Goliath thought that he had won as soon as he saw this puny little David coming out to meet him. But when Jesus burst forth from the tomb on Easter, Satan knew that he was sunk. As David had saved his people, much more had Jesus saved his. Like father, like son, in this case, is definitely an understatement. What mercy. What mercy this son of David showed. There were many in Israel waiting for this merciful one to come. Son of David, have mercy on me, the blind Bartimaeus cried out. What a sight that must have been. This huge crowd following along with Jesus as he's coming to town. The commotion being, oh, just terrible. And Bartimaeus asking who was coming by. And when he's told it's Jesus of Nazareth, immediately he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He must have been making quite the ruckus if the people who were in the front of the entourage were telling him to pipe down. But he wouldn't stop. He couldn't stop. He knew that Jesus could help him. He knew that Jesus had come to help him because he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, his Savior. The Son of David was all about mercy, you see. As the Messiah, the Savior promised for all people, Jesus didn't just take pity on us in our sinful state and come and give us a nice little pat on the back and say, there. No. Jesus looked at us in our lost condition, sinners all, bound for hell, and he took pity on us. He had mercy toward us. In his undeserved love, in his deep compassion, Jesus did something about our lost condition. He took our place. He took on our flesh and blood so that he could live the perfect life that we're supposed to, but that we can't. He went to the cross, bearing all of our sins, the sins of the entire world, so that he could pay the penalty for them. He went to hell for us, being abandoned by God, his Father, our Father, so that we wouldn't have to be. And through faith, he gives us everything that he has accomplished for us. He washes us clean of all of our sins. He puts on us his perfect life. And he gives us true life, life forever with him in heaven. And what's our reaction to that marvelous mercy that the Son of David, our Savior, shows us? Well, in part, it's what we're doing right now as we gather together to give him our praise and our thanks. In part, it's what we do whenever we live out our roles in life, whatever roles we've been put into us as students, as teachers, as mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, etc. Because in doing so, in fulfilling those roles, we are showing the mercy of Jesus to others. In part, our reaction to Jesus' mercy is to share that mercy, to tell others about the merciful Son of David so that they can be shown mercy also. The Son of David is not just a powerful healer. The Son of David saves, and he saves you eternally. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Son of David, Jesus, our Savior, we give you thanks for the great mercy that you have shown to us in making us and keeping us your children through faith. Create and sustain within us a deep appreciation of your never-ending mercy, and grant us also a burning desire to share your mercy with others. Give us also a merciful heart that we may be as forgiving toward those around us as you are toward us. Strengthen us in our faith through your precious word and sacraments, so that in all things we place all of our burdens, both physical and spiritual, upon you and you alone. In your holy name, we ask these things. Amen.